When you think of an electric guitar, who do you picture playing it? A lot of people are going to say Jimi Hendrix, maybe Eric Clapton, maybe Jimmy Page. The electric guitar, it's a bit of a stereotypical male instrument, but its origins seem to say otherwise. Have you ever heard of Sister Rosetta Sharp? Well, here to explain further about the history of the electric guitar is Janelle Johnstone, Associate Lecturer in Crime, Justice and Legal Studies, and a PhD candidate in the School of Social Inquiry at La Trobe University. Janelle, thank you for joining us this morning. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here on the show. So I guess a bit of an open-ended question to start here, maybe a bit of a broad one. What stereotypes surround guitars and gender?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming most of your listeners listen to loads of music the same as I do. And,
Yeah. You
know, that really mainstream sort of stereotypical image is of a dude, you know, strutting the guitar solo, you know, potentially tongue out. So there's lots of stuff stemmed in gender performance within not just the guitar, but generally around, you know, rock music and associated genres. But the guitar in particular has sort of got this, you know, it's almost become this kind of icon of, you know, masculine heroism. And I just think it's really fascinating when not only are there bucket loads of women and gender diverse people playing guitar now, but also the roots of the instrument and actually, you know, the style. There was a woman at the center of that.
Yeah, can we actually like take a trip down memory lane and explore that a bit? You know, like despite, you know, the heavy male dominance surrounding electric guitar playing today, who was the leading pioneer in the 1930s? What was going on back when the guitar first got electrified?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's sort of one particular person, but Sister Rosetta Tharp is definitely, you know, a standout as someone who at that time really, you know, she came from a roots and gospel tradition, but really hooked into what that transition to electrifying the guitar meant. And so, you know, that transition from an acoustic instrument to an electrified instrument, the thing that happened was that the guitar was able to sustain. And by that I mean, you know, you can just strike a note and it holds out. And so with that came this whole kind of, you know, mind-blowing kind of opening up of what you can do with it. And obviously the other cool thing about it is the way that you can push, you know, frequencies to just that point of distortion. So she sort of embraced that and really was at that forefront of the emergence of rock and roll as a genre.
The clip of her playing Didn't It Rain from 1964, incredible piece.
It is, and it's amazing, and it's you know, the reason that we're talking today is because I've had an article published in The Conversation,
yes,
and discussing all of this stuff. And if anyone wants to jump online and have a look at that, there's a clip of that particular song, and she's playing on a train station, and she's on one side of the platform, and all the audience are on the other side. It's wild.
It's very cool. Yeah. And as you say in the article, you know, sort of rock music, punk music, learning to play does come, you know, sort of via friendship groups, people learning chords, riffs, how to actually, you know, keep your fingers intact when they're too sore, a little bit of a DIY method. How does sort of rites of passage become work when you're learning an instrument, and how are those rites of passage gendered when it comes to instrument playing?
Yeah, well, I won't, you know, go too deep into the gender theory stuff, but there's a really big body of work that speaks to all of those rites of passages, particularly in a Western context, that we often all go through, you know, the concept of even teenhood, you know, that's sort of a classic cultural construction. So it's sort of this, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we do, you know, through those phases that articulate who we are and our identity, and gender is a really central part of that. So because most of us, you know, come from traditions that sit, you know, where the gender binary is kind of the main way that people organize themselves, the sorts of things that we're doing around that tend to emulate that. So with something like, you know, rock and punk music and any other of those sort of related genres, particularly ones that are about kind of, you know, underground grassroots, you know, protest, retaliation. Those skills, you know, we're not learning those in universities. You'd be lucky if you're learning them in high school. So they're very much what we call, you know, like a socialized learning system. And that's classic DIY.
I love a bit of DIY, yeah.
Yeah, and it's empowering and it sort of opens up spaces and it makes things accessible. But if those kind of social structures are already inherently gendered, it means that the knowledge is circulating in particular gendered contexts. So something like music, you know, the stereotype, again, thinking of stereotypes, but, you know, the band in the garage, the general kind of stereotype of that is of young fellas bashing it out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating in my research. I mean, I've been playing guitar myself since I was 14 and I'm now 49 and I came through, you know, DIY stuff and, you know, the thing about the guitar is that it's like the people in my research, you know, didn't talk about the garage. They talked about hanging out in their parents' lounge rooms and there sort of was this slightly different iteration of how women and gender diverse people were getting those skills and riffing, you know. It's quite interesting.
We're almost out of time, Janelle, but in your article in The Conversation, you've got a couple of lists of like incredible guitarists. You know, you've got Joan Jett, you've got Ronnie Fujiyama, you've got Kim Gordon, plus some amazing Australian local acts as well. Is there anyone you would like to sort of profile up here live on the air for, you know, see some amazing Australian electric guitar players?
Yeah, well, I'm sure your listeners are probably listening to heaps of bands that have got, lots of non-dude musicians and guitarists. But I put a few in the article. There's, one of my favourites is actually Steph Crass from down here. She's in a band called Summerflake. Absolutely phenomenal guitarist, you know, just nails the concept of restraint in a way that is just absolutely beautiful. Erica Dunn, another standout, plays in ModCon, also Tropical Fuckstorm, and has a side project called Palm Springs. Sarah Hardiman used to be in Death Wish, has got a solo project called Lou. The latest one is Moon Rituals, I think, which is a collab with Mikey Young. I can probably keep going, but if we're a bit short on time, you might have to stop me.
No, I mean, I would love to keep going and going, but yeah, technically, I guess we do have to move around for other shows, but we could absolutely talk about this for hours, Janelle, but we're going to leave it there with some incredible incredible recommendations, and we're going to absolutely plug your article as well to check out even more of this amazing research that you've been doing. Janelle?
Yeah, cool. And just a quick plug as well. People can just look out for Sonic Agenda on Insta, and I pump a whole lot of stuff through that related to this topic.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, we'll get that up on the links and the socials, of course. Janelle, that's all the time we've got today, but thank you so much for dropping by the Thursday Daily to talk all about shredding guitars, women, non-binary, gender diverse, absolutely smashing it on the electric airwaves. It's been great chatting with you this morning.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
That was Janelle Johnstone, Associate Lecturer in Crime, Justice and Legal Studies, and a PhD candidate in the School of Social Inquiry at La Trobe University, talking to us about how women are taking back their rightful place as electric guitar players and absolutely shredding and tearing up the airwaves.